call last week with Bruce Tonkin and myself and Jeff Newman and Barbara and Glenn. I think the chair of Task Force 2, maybe, was not on the call. But Bruce came up with a schedule that I circulated this morning, which would, you know, as immediately relevant, would call for the constituencies to provide constituency statements on or before February 6th. Hello?
Hello, it's Vittorio here.
Can we do a roll call before we start off, actually?
Sure, that's fine. Why don't you do the roll call?
Would you like me to do a roll call? Fine. Sarah Deutsch? Marilyn Cade? Kim Stubbs? Greg Ruth?
Here.
Franny Willings? Russ Rader?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brian Darville?
Present.
Terry Clark? Terry was on. He was on just now. Kiyoshi Tsuru? Vittorio Bertolo?
Present.
Barbara. So, in fact, we are without GTLDs and non-commercials and business. Business, GTLD, and non-commercials.
Okay. Shall we wait? Why don't we wait a couple of minutes and see if anybody else joins? What's the protocol? Can we proceed if they're not on the call, or how do you all want to handle it? Barbara?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear your question.
Yeah, if without, you know, GTLDs, non-coms, and the business constituency, can we proceed with the call, or what's the protocol in terms of?
Yeah, that's a large number of people to have missing for some of the discussions we have to have, but I think we could, why don't we move to the end of the agenda, the discussion of the schedule and the constituency statements, and deal with other matters first, and then if other people join the call, we can move forward on those. We have to move forward on those issues today. And so, you know, let's give an opportunity for people who are maybe just a little late calling in to join.
That's fine. I mean,
and then if there's other issues that we can take up first, then let's do those.
Okay. Well, as I see it, why don't we talk briefly about Registrar's report. Ross, I believe you circulated or posted to the entire list the report that you generated from the registrars, from your polling of the registrars. Is that correct?
Yep.
And that was circulated to everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So we all have that, and I guess, you know, to the extent we're gathering data from the registrars, we now have that in the form of what Ross has provided. So I think to the limited extent of that data, we now have that in hand. And, you know, my sense is that at least is in the can. I don't know. Are you anticipating any further responses from the registrars, Ross?
None, no.
Okay. All right. So really the next part of our work, as stated in the terms of reference, would be to other companies. And I think how things were left week, we had identified most of those companies. There was some debate on the list on a couple of entities. And why don't I add in that other company you had identified, Ross? And I guess I wasn't sure why we would include the registries in that. Do they do any data verification at all?
Well, no. My point with that, Brian, is still around either retreating VeriSign is a special case, and I don't view them as being an exceptional case in any way. And there's better companies to look at as far as best practice goes. Or if we're actually looking at registries, we should ask the registry constituency to respond.
No, but I think the idea there is not VeriSign as a registry per se, but in light of the other businesses, the other lines of business that they have where they do engage in data verification.
Right. Well, what I'm saying, though, is in each case, when there are the lines of business where they are conducting the data verification, I deal with them on this basis. So, I'm speaking from a very practical standpoint here. Their practices are typically less than optimal.
So, if
you're looking at verifying best practices in the digital certificate industry, GeoTrust is a much better provider.
Let's include GeoTrust and VeriSign and maybe a couple of other situated companies. And that way, obviously, you'll have an opportunity to comment if the registrars want to say that the VeriSign's practices are not up to snuff and the reasons why are not that opportunity. But I.
Brian, this is Barbara.
Yeah, hey, Barbara.
I actually think Ross is making a good point in that if there are other companies that are, clearly nobody has the place in the marketplace that VeriSign has on these issues, but I would hate to see us single them out as the only registry that we contact on these matters if just politically, it's a difficult situation for us to be in.
That's not what I'm proposing.
Right,
I'm
right.
Proposing that we have them, we have the company Ross just mentioned.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's all I'm saying, is expand it to include the other data verification providers, the other certificate providers or something, and then contextualize them that way, that's all.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I mean, I think let's get, five or six.
Let me just make a statement, actually, Brian, if you don't mind. What it comes down to is at a certain point, the registries and registrars are going to have to implement something if best practices are adopted. And under no circumstances am I willing to consider adopting anything that's based on less than optimal practices. We're supposed to be looking at best practices within specific industry segments, not less than best practices, and if that's what we're after, then we can certainly include VeriSign. But I'll continue to raise this objection until it's either, I guess, formally noted, or that we actually look at companies that are engaged in best practices.
But I think we're gathering data at this point, right? And whether the practices are best, there may be some differences of opinion on that. And why don't we just get it? And clearly, you'll have the registrars and any other constituency would have an opportunity to say, or to what extent they believe one company's practices are better or worse than the other, and whether it's representative or not. And as I understand it, this stage in the process is to get the information, and then the next, at some point we're supposed to develop a best practices. A set of best practices for this purpose. And then at that point, obviously that's where we're really, I'm saying is let's get the information. Let's see what they have to say, because they are, obviously they are doing some of this data verification. And to the extent that once we have it all together, then all the constituencies will have an opportunity to say whether a particular practice is or is not a good one, whether it should be adopted, whether one company is or is not representative. But I think excluding them at this point, doesn't really advance the ball.
Then we need to expand the scope of your inquiry if that's the process you want to follow.
What you could do, Ross, is if you can identify, if you're willing to take this on, identify similarly situated registries who also have these other lines of business where they engage in the data verification practices.
Brian, you've consistently said it has nothing to do with registries, and I'm happy to accept that. So if we're talking about digital certificate providers, let's talk about that and include as many as we possibly can, because we're going to have to sift through which ones are engaged in best practice and which ones aren't, and figure out which best practice we want to adopt.
Okay.
I'm not willing to undertake any sort of consideration if we're just looking at one vendor in any specific category.
All right. So, do you want to? Can you compile a representative list of the digital certificate providers?
Certainly.
Okay. And let's just include that, and we'll have whatever number you think is appropriate. I don't know whether it's 5 to 10. Whatever is.
It's a very small space.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to go. And Ross, just from my perspective, it's not that we're. I'm more than willing to concede that VeriSign might not have the best current practice that we want to choose to emulate, but they have perhaps what we might consider the most pervasive current practice in the field, and so it'd be wrong to not look at them as well.
Okay.
Anyway, that's yeah.
But let's do this then. I think we had the the revised final list, which I circulated last week, and then there was a lot of traffic back and forth where Ross identified a company, and why don't we? I'll take that list. I'll add in company Ross just mentioned. Ross, if you can get the digital certificate providers that you think would be representative and send that to me, I'll include that in a revised list and circulate that, you know. I mean, I could do it as early, later today or tomorrow if that gives you enough time to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll have that out there, and then hopefully we can just point. I think we should start contacting our contacts at the various companies and getting to them questionnaire. Turning to the questionnaire, I think at this point there were no further additions or discussions on that questionnaire that was circulated last. So, I mean, are we all in agreement that those are the questions we should get responses to? Because I think if that's now in the can, we can start with contacting companies and getting them to respond, with the goal of trying to get their responses by February 16.
Actually, before we move on to that particular question, Brian, I know Vittorio, for instance, had some questions around the composition of the companies, and I just wanted to get a better understanding of whether or not that particular set of concerns have been addressed.
About the companies we're contacting?
About the sort of the geographic distribution of those companies.
Okay. Vittorio?
Yes. My point basically was that I think that if we can, we could try to include companies, for example, from the Far East or from places where they don't use Roman scripts and they have perhaps different sets of personal data, because I think that would make a more complete examination. Of course, I'm not sure whether we can actually find any of these companies, but I think it could be a good added value if we succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that would be valuable. Do you want to take that on and see if you can identify some of those companies so that we can maybe try to get a few of those companies to us by the end of this week? Would that be possible?
Yeah, I can try, but perhaps we all can see whether we know, for example, some ISP in Japan or something like that that could perhaps respond to the questions. And also, I think it would be good if we could get some small ISP or small company to respond to our questions, because that would perhaps give a slightly different perspective on the matter. But again, I'm not sure I can have significant contacts. I can try at least.
No, I think that's a good idea, but I think we're I know we're not turning to the schedule just yet, but we're kind of under some tight deadlines. So we had circulated this list of companies, a couple of weeks ago, and I think the idea was to try to get that list fleshed out. I certainly have no problem with adding additional companies, whether they're in the Far East or smaller companies generally in other parts of the world, but I think if somebody can and take it upon themselves to identify those companies and we can add them to the list, I think that would be fine. At the same time, I think under the schedule that to some extent has been adopted, it seems to me not necessarily by us but by the GNSO director, I think we have to get moving.
Yes, I mean, maybe what we can do is simply to take the questions we agreed on and to forward them to any company that we think might fit in the categories we have designed and that might help us in filling these gaps. So if we can get answers by February 16th, I think it's fine. And if we can't, at least we will have tried.
Right. I think that makes sense. And the more information we get, the better. And then we can compile everything and put together, get all the data at least presented so that we'll have it at the workshop in Rome. I think that makes sense. Okay. So who is going to take on the identification of companies in the Far East? Can you handle that, Vittoria?
Well, for example, I can ask two people in my committee who are from the Far East and try to see whether we can find some.
Okay.
So I can try.
To the extent that you identify any of those, if you could email those task force and to me, and I'll just add them to the list of companies as they come in.
Okay,
circulate fine. That. And what about the smaller companies? Can anyone take on the identification of those companies for inclusion in the survey?
Brian, this is Terry. I have a suggestion for you.
Okay.
AIPLA has a committee that's focused in Japan and Korea.
Okay.
Perhaps if we contact the chairman, or we get Mike Kirk to perhaps contact the chairman, he could find someone that could get that information for us.
Yeah, that's an idea. All right, well, let's plan on doing that then. Why don't we see if we can get somebody at AIPLA to identify some relevant companies in Japan and Korea, and we can send the survey to. So, and then as these things come in, we'll just add them to the list of companies, and I'll circulate that to the task force so everybody knows what's going on. Well, at this point, what about the schedule? I think, Barbara, you think we can turn to that now?
Yeah, nobody else has joined the call, but I think we have to.
Okay, all right. I circulated this morning a schedule that was essentially adopted, I guess, at a call with Bruce Tonkin last week. It was Bruce, Jeff Newman, myself, Barbara, and Glenn, and I think the other task force chair, Task Force 2, was not on the call. But basically, Bruce wants to get things moving, and what he's calling for is that we request constituency statements at this time, meaning this week, now, effectively, based on the task force terms of reference. And this is obviously before much of the data has been collected, and that we get the constituencies to weigh in on the issues now and get their statements into the task force by February 16th. Then, force is supposed to prepare an interim report on or before February 25th and get that posted on that date so that it can be reviewed at the room or before the room meeting. And then there are going to be workshops scheduled probably on Wednesday, March 3rd at Rome for that purpose. And then the preliminary task force report, which is, you know, recognized as within the PDP, would be due on April 9, with a public comment period ending April 29, and a final report due May 20. So that's the schedule that Bruce has essentially adopted. And I did get your email this morning, Ross, about the schedule and how you indicate that, you know, your constituency needs minimum of 3 weeks to respond to some of these things. And, you know, the deadlines are not sufficient. There's going to be a GNSO council call tomorrow, and we can, you know, I can certainly relay this during that call, your position. You know, and I guess you should coordinate with the GNSO council reps, registrar's constituency, so that they can position as well. But my sense was from the call last week that Bruce Tonkin wants to get this thing rolling, and these are the deadlines that are going to be imposed. So, you know, what are people's thoughts about the schedule and about Ross's comments, timing, and the ability to get to respond?
Actually, can I speak first, this Barbara?
Yeah, sure, Barbara.
I just want to explain a little bit more about the schedule and how we arrived at it. The idea of having something, having work in by the 16th was so that we could prepare an interim report for people to use at the Rome meeting. So that it's more of a status report than anything else. It's like where we stand in our work and what the methodology is for moving forward and what the timeline is for moving forward. To give people an opportunity at Rome to, you know, in the workshop to express their concerns about the direction we're going or about whether we have included the appropriate information, you know, how the policy is taking shape, that kind of thing. It is not intended to be like a, we're not going to be making any policy statements in the interim report. It's really just preparatory materials for having a public discussion in Rome.
The interim report,
the one that's due February 25th. And so we want to get something published about a week before the Rome meeting so that people have a chance to look at it before they actually arrive in Rome. As for after the meeting, when we said that the preliminary task force report would be published on April 9th and then the public comment period closing on the 29th, the public comment period is mandated to be 20 days in the PDP. I think that if we wanted to, we could probably either extend that period so that it would be long enough for the constituencies that have processes in place that take longer than that to use that public comment period, or we could simply accept constituency statements after that period. I mean, we have some flexibility in that regard. And we've given ourselves about a three-week period after the public comment period closes for writing the final report. So I think that there's a little more flexibility to the to receiving comments back from the constituencies after the preliminary report is published than may be apparent just from the, you know, public comment period closes in 20 days. That's the mandated amount of time in the PDP. So those are the only two points I wanted to make.
Okay. Well, I mean, Barbara, what's your sense? I mean, do we have the ability to impact the schedule at this point?
I don't think
last week's call is that's essentially going to be the schedule, and we're...
Yeah, I mean, I think we can play...
Operating under it.
I don't think there's much we can do with the timing before the March meeting, because I think that timing is set by the March meeting.
Right.
You know, it's like there's a certain time frame that's already established that we have to have something ready to present in Rome. And it doesn't have to be the preliminary report, because we've already decided that's impossible, but it could certainly be this kind of status report or interim report, as we're calling it. And I think you do need to discuss whether this is the right time to call for the constituency statements. I mean, I think that we had some discussion about that with Bruce, and I think there are opinions on both sides about whether this is the right stage. And one of the things that we talked about in our little call was that the PDP, as it's currently designed, does not take into account the any kind of data gathering work. It seems designed to work for processes where there is no further information gathering, where all that needs to happen is a policy negotiation process. And I think the new, you know, the approval process for new services PDP is a good example of how that will work. Everyone pretty much knows what the issues are. They were laid out clearly in the terms of reference and the issues report. And so everyone sort of has the same ground from which to work to make a decision about how they want to see that policy evolve. For the who is PDPs, the situation is quite different. The terms of reference actually spell out doing additional information gathering. And it's a little frustrating to ask the constituencies to develop policy statements based on their state, their current state of knowledge, when we've already elaborated that we're going to develop additional information about these ideas, about these areas of concern. And so, I think that the PDP calls for constituencies to make a statement based on the terms of reference and the issues report. But the PDP itself didn't take into account that there might be additional information gathering. So I think it's really a quandary in terms of meeting certain deadlines and getting work done effectively, in a certain amount of time, and also wanting to provide best knowledge to the constituencies to make their decision.
I'll give you my take on it, Barbara, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But my sense from the call last week was that Bruce Tonkin wants to get this process rolling, and he does not want to wait until we get data gathered from, let's take our particular task force's case, from these other companies, which probably won't be until, at the very earliest, mid-February. And frankly, in my personal view, I think that's overly optimistic. But in any event, so I think what he wants to do is have the constituencies state their position by mid-February, recognizing that the data, much of the data that we're tasked with gathering has not been gathered. And, I'm not sure that advances the ball that much, but I think Bruce recognizes that we're going to be getting the constituency positions stated probably in general terms and probably in somewhat extreme terms, but at least we'll have that information so that once we get the data gathered, we can sort of report on everything, and then we can have a workshop that will have some or all of the data as well as the constituency initial positions. And so that's
initial positions on what at this point, Brian?
On the terms of reference, Ross. And I understand where you're coming from. I kind of have the same perspective that now is not the time for the constituency statements, but that's what he has suggested. And I, being somewhat practical, I think we're kind of stuck with the schedule, at least pre-Rome, as Barbara mentioned. And I think it is a bit of a quandary because we're not going to have the data collected that would permit people to opine on best practices, for example. Sure.
I guess I've been thinking more about this since our conversation with Bruce, and of course because it's coming up for each of the task forces. I guess I'm leaning towards going back to the council and saying we think collectively as the task forces that for this PDP it might be inappropriate to ask for the constituency statements this early in the process. That we want to have something to report at Rome, but maybe we could set the date for receiving the constituency statements for immediately post-Rome. So that they will at least have had the opportunity to review our interim report, which gets published on the 25th. So they can, if we send out the request for constituency statements relatively soon and say, okay, we're giving you until perhaps say, March 15th, and as part of your deliberations, please include a consideration of the materials that we're going to publish, on the 25th, on February 25th, that certainly would give people enough chance to both meet their process and review additional data. And it doesn't disrupt the overall timing that significantly from what Bruce was proposing.
So you're suggesting Barbara, that we essentially we do everything pre-Rome with the exception of the constituency statements.
And that we actually put out the call for the constituency statements pretty soon, like probably around February 1st. But just give them longer than, you know, 3 weeks to do it or 4 weeks to do it. That we say,
but
you know,
but if we put the call out on February 1st, we just soon put the call out now because we're not going to have any data between now and February 1st beyond what we currently have.
Right, but what the call is going to say is not prepare your statement by February 16th. It's going to say, you know, we're asking the constituencies to begin their process of preparing a statement that will be due to us on, say, let's just arbitrarily say March 15th. And because I'm looking to see if what kind of day of the week that falls on. That falls on a Monday, so let's say March 13th, which is a Saturday. And that, you know, and that here's our timeline for producing information for you to consider. And on February 25th, there's going to be a report, and on March 3rd, there's going to be a public workshop. And, you know, you as your registry, you as your constituency have to determine how you want to, you know, work those into your process, but that's, this sort of gives everybody fair warning that if they have a three-week process, as the registrar's constituency does, that they have to figure out how to do the timing of that. And they may not have a full 3 weeks after the March 3rd meeting in which to do anything, so they may want to draft some material first and, you know, be able to adapt it based on what occurs at these meetings, at the, you know, from our report and at these meetings.
Yeah, just a point of clarification on that. It's 3 weeks just for the democratic process, not for the editing process or the drafting process. But I also had a question for you as well, Brian, if you don't mind, at a certain point.
That's
unrelated
fine.
To this line, so just put me in the queue for whenever.
Okay.
Okay, so that still wouldn't see. I guess what I'm trying to think is if we really say that we aren't going to take constituency statements until 3 weeks after, say, for just for instance, the March 3rd meeting, then that really would change the schedule pretty dramatically. Whereas I think that if we... So there, that's my statement, is that if we adapt the schedule to account for certain constituencies' processes, so that they have the most information available and are able to follow their process the way that it's outlined for them, then we're liable to push the schedule back dramatically, which means that we may not even have a conclusion of this by the second ICANN meeting, which is in July. And that would be, I think that would really be a shame, because I think that there's no reason why we can't have our work concluded by the end of by the end of May.
Yeah, I don't know. My sense from the call last week was that, you know, we'd probably get moving. And, you know, maybe what we can do is put the call out for the constituency statements now and, you know, have them provide those statements or something like that so that they've got, you know, at 6 weeks, recognizing that they're going to have, they'll be receiving some additional data at some point, probably, you know, the 25th, and they'll have to factor that in at some point.
I'm sorry, put out the call for having them have their statements due when?
Go ahead and request them now, but just have the due date being, you know, Rome or...
Ah, I see. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing we could look at is we could say, okay, February 25th is when we do the interim report.
Maybe we could have them do at the same time, and so that the interim report won't actually address the constituency statements, but we'll have the constituency statements at Rome. People will have had an opportunity to review them, and then during the workshop, you know, you'll have a more informed discussion.
Well, that doesn't quite allow for them to consider the data that we develop.
Well, the data...
See, I think if we said that they should have their constituency statement available, for instance, 3 weeks from February 25th, that would put us at about what I was saying, around March 12th.
Yeah, Barbara, I understand this, but isn't this kind of water under the bridge? Didn't Bruce essentially decide that this is going to...
Well, I think he did, but I also think that... I think it's not quite as set in stone. If we can change the schedule so that we still meet that May 20th final report due, then I think we're within scope, if you will. I think the more I consider it, the more I think asking for the constituency statements at this point isn't as helpful as waiting for the constituencies to actually have new data to look at. Now, I might be completely wrong. It may be that every constituency is going to come up with a position, a policy position, that won't change regardless of whatever data we develop, right? You know, it could be that the politics are such that everyone already knows what their position is going to be, and we don't really care what new data we develop. But I'm hopeful that the whole point of developing new data was to give people a chance to reassess their positions.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we leave all dates in the proposed schedule the same, and we'll adopt your suggested March 13 date. You want a Saturday for that date?
March 12th is fine. That's the Friday.
The constituency statements will be due on March 12th, and all other dates remain the same.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. And then everything else...
They may not have as much time as they like, but they can start working on it now, and they can, they'll have to, when they get the interim report or the data, they can factor that in. They'll have to move a little more quickly than they would like, but...
I would encourage everybody who's acting as a representative of their constituency to make sure that their constituency is kept up to date on data as we develop it. So if we start getting in replies from groups and it suddenly looks like, oh, wow, this is new information that we didn't anticipate receiving, that gets conveyed in a timely enough fashion to enhance people's writings, draftings of these constituency statements.
Right. And maybe what we could do is, do we want to have the data provided to a centralized point, which perhaps should be Barbara or Glenn, or how do you want to handle that when we start getting these survey responses? What do you all recommend on that?
Glenn, what do you think? I think it should come to some central point. I'm just trying to figure out who that point should be.
If you wanted to come to a central point, perhaps it should either go onto the list or we could open another list.
I think
what about this issue if some of the people may want some of the responses to be confidential, or they may want anonymity and that kind of thing? How's that going to be handled?
Well,
I personally would prefer that it be handled, via ICANN, if possible.
Right, right. No, I think that's the right way to do it. Okay, why don't we make me the contact person for now?
Okay, for the survey responses.
Actually, I think I need to develop a new email for that.
Yeah, that's fine. If you want to do that, Barbara.
Yeah.
If we make a list, but not a public list, but an email.
Yeah, that might be the best way.
Okay. When we do that,
I can send
Ross.
It, and then eventually you've got all the mails there. And if you want to disclose it at some time or another afterwards, you can. If you don't want to disclose it, it remains undisclosed.
Okay.
That sounds good.
The receivers of that list could be Brian, Barbara, and myself, if you like, or nobody else would receive that list.
Yeah, why don't we work on the details of that, and we can report on that at next week's call, because we're not going to get any responses before then in any event, I wouldn't think. But if Barbara, maybe you and Glenn can coordinate on that and come up with a protocol that makes sense. But let's get back to Ross's issue on the schedule. Ross, if we did that with the March 12 constituency statements, you know, altering the schedule that was circulated, giving the constituencies the schedule, and that these statements are going to be due a week, roughly a week after Rome. I mean, is that going to mitigate your problem?
Well, yeah, I don't.
I mean, what I'm trying to say somewhat delicately is I don't think that constituency or any other constituency is going to get the amount of time that they want on this. And, you know, I don't think we control that.
There's really two elements. We need 3 weeks, and that's a condition of our bylaws, and it's anything that doesn't follow that process has zero value. Not even value, but it's not an official document. The other thing is we can just eliminate surprises from the schedule. You know, we could, for instance, get something done over the next 28 days, assuming that everybody involved in the constituency with the document drafting would drop what they're doing with their real lives, start drafting today, and get that constituency in the next 7 days. It's not impossible to meet the statement requirements. So, you know, I want to flag that for not only for the record, but for anything else that's coming down the pike. It's possible to do, but at the end of the day, we're all volunteers, and we all have lives, and some of these schedules are getting pretty aggressive, and it's becoming more and more common. And I for one am not really a fan of these hyper accelerated timelines. So I don't want you guys to think that we're massively opposed to the statements that have been put forward or the schedules that have been put forward, but if there's anything we can do to make them a little bit longer, that's great.
Okay, so does the March 12th seem a reasonable time frame in which to get the constituency statement drafted and through your process, given that it still is a short time for considering the new data
That's fine. Both dates are fine, both the 28-day cycle as well as the March 12th date. I'm more concerned around the 20-day, that's response to the preliminary report, but with your earlier statement that you're going to give us some flexibility around...
Well, I'm just saying it's possible to develop flexibility around that.
That's what I mean, but if that option is open, then most of my concerns are taken into account that I raised in the email, so I'm not really as necessarily concerned as I was when I first saw that schedule.
Okay.
Why don't we do this then, Barbara? Can you send out today or post today requests for the constituency statements for the task force 3 terms of reference, and then give the 28 days through February 18 for the constituencies to respond?
Sure.
I mean, why don't we just do that, and then and then that way we'll have we'll have those responses in before the interim report, and the workshop I think will be a little bit slightly more meaningful with whatever data has been collected plus the constituency statements at that point. And then because I think if I get on this call tomorrow and I propose that we need to dramatically alter this, it's not going to be met with any kind of it's not going to get very far. And I think if we get the call out today for the constituency statements for Task Force 3, then at least people will have some.
Let me propose this. I'll go ahead and send out a request for statements for all 3 task forces today, and if tomorrow during the call we are able to change the time that those statements are due to March 12th, then I will simply send a revised notice to people saying that they have an additional, X number of weeks to get this done.
Okay. All right. So we'll go with 4 weeks from today, which I think is going to be February 18, and then on the call tomorrow, we'll propose that date for the constituency statements be extended to March 12. And if that flies, and otherwise the schedule that Bruce recommended or adopted, whatever the appropriate term is, would remain the same. I think that probably has the most chances of success, the greatest chance of success. So why don't we go with that? Ross, you said you had a question?
Yeah, I had a question on actually the work that's being requested now. So you'd mentioned that you're soliciting position statements on the terms of reference. And that's just, it's kind of a new use of terminology, and this whole PDP is new for everybody. So I just want to be really clear from your perspective what you're asking the constituencies to.
Let me clarify. I think what the constituencies are, as I understand it, they're to submit their constituency statements, not on the scope of work that's been set out for the task force, but just in terms of, you know, what they think, what information they can provide now based on the terms of reference. Obviously, if you look at the
issues report and the terms of reference.
Right. I mean, if you look at the milestones, you know, you could, for example, the registrars could report on what their current techniques are for verifying data, okay? The second aspect of our work is collecting publicly available information on techniques used by other online service providers. To the extent you have that information, you could comment on it, but if you don't, presumably you wouldn't. The third task is creating a best practices document for improving data verification. There, I think the constituencies could submit their positions, you know, characterizing them as somewhat preliminary in light of the fact that we don't have the data from the other industries at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you could also comment on the issue of whether there are changes required to the contracts, whether in the constituency's view they believe that there are changes that should be made to the contracts regarding data verification. The fifth aspect is the determine what verification mechanisms can be used cost effectively to combat deliberately false information. Well, you could comment on that as well. So, I mean, I think everything would be couched in terms of, or with recognition that the data of other industry practices has not yet been characterized, and that may somehow materially affect what the constituency's views are on these points, but this is what we think right now.
Interesting. Okay, so we're not really being asked, we're really being asked to extrapolate on what a possible policy conclusion might look like and comment on that at a very high level, obviously.
I think so. I think that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that likely would make the most sense, because then we'll have the interim report, and probably, you know, if this proposed schedule change is adopted, it would be without the constituency statements, and then we'll have the data, and the workshop at Rome, you know, should provide additional information that could be factored into those statements. And then we'd have that before the preliminary report called for by the PDP, and we could factor that in.
Okay.
So that's my understanding of it. So at this, let's talk briefly, if we could, about next steps. Barbara, you're going to go ahead and get that request out.
Yes.
For the constituency statements. Tomorrow on the call, I'll propose that, although we've requested the constituency statements by February 18, we'd like to extend that date to March 12. And hopefully, you know, that will be adopted. And then, in the meantime, Vittorio, you're going to go ahead and see if you can identify some companies in the Far East.
Okay.
And, Terry, if you could pursue that angle with AIPLA on the Japan and Korea Committee to see if they might be able to identify some companies to which we could send this survey, that would be helpful. I will take the last version of the list of companies, and I'll add... I'll update that with I think the one company Ross had mentioned. Ross, you're going to go ahead and put together the list of.
I currently owe you the ISP associations as well as the certificate vendors. And I can't remember.
Certificate providers and the ISP associations.
And that was it? There was none other ones? I think that was it.
I think that's it.
Okay.
And once I get that from you, I'll just fold that into the list and recirculate it. And if you could do that by, I don't know if you could do it by the end of the week, but that would be helpful.
That way I can
get this list out Friday. And I think at this point, And I'll send the final questions again. And maybe what I should do is, should I make that a Word document that we can email to people, you know, like a PDF or something that will have a little introduction about what we're looking for? And, you know, here are the questions. If you could please complete this and then send it to, email it to, I'll give Glenn's address, maybe.
Yeah, the address that we come up with for a list, yeah.
Right, and that way, all they have to do is, you know, fill in the document and then send it along. That way, when we send it to various contacts, it'll be easy for them to know what to do with it. So I'll take care of that as well. Okay.
I'm just thinking we may, if possible, want to not make it a Word document or a PDF, but just keep it as plain text, like in the body of whatever email we send them.
That's fine, too. Let's do that, if you think that's
helpful.
It's
just a little easier for people to fill out that way sometimes.
Yes,
yeah,
and it's easier to deal with in the end, too, because Word documents are not very easy.
And what about a deadline for getting those responses? Should we, I guess we'll go ahead and include February 16, but...
Yeah. We just have to put it in there whether we think it's realistic or not.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Anything else at this point? And if not, I guess we'll have another... I'll send around an email after tomorrow's call. Let everyone know whether or not they agree with this extension through March 12. And,
yeah. Whatever text you want to use to introduce the questions, you should probably send that around to the list so that people can just make sure it says what they want it to say.
Right, that's fine. And I think to the extent that if people have comments on that, if they could send them back as quickly as possible, that'd be helpful. Because I think if we're going to get anything back by February 16,
we have to send it out. Yeah, Friday if we can.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Anything else? All right, so I guess we'll have another call this time next week, and in the meantime, we'll try to pursue these things, and we'll see where everyone is. And so look for the emails.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay.
All right, nice talking to you guys.
Talk to you all later.
Barbara?